to the 25th episode of the Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's marketing executive. Today I am joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's managing director.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing useful content. What is it? Why should we care in B2B about whether content is useful? And just how do you go about writing content that people will value and make use of? So I suppose perhaps we need to start off by trying to define what is useful content. Any ideas, Fiona?
Well, I was thinking about this earlier and thinking about it really in the context of the marketing funnel that we all know and love so much. And one of the big things about content marketing is that you want to give away your expertise in a certain sense. So it's giving your potential buyer content that they will find useful, that helps them do their job better, and that gives them a better and more kind of relatable perception of your brand. So that they come to love you basically because you help them do their job better. But I think when we think about the marketing funnel, that kind of content seems to come in once the potential buyer has become aware of you. I mean, if they're not aware of you, then you can produce all the useful content you like, but they don't see it. And so what we tend to see is that content around the top of the funnel, which is the kind of sparkly look at me kind of content, is useful, but it's useful to the brand in that it creates awareness. And it's only when we get sort of a bit further down the funnel that we start creating content that's actually genuinely useful, or hopefully genuinely useful for the buyer. So as I said just now, this is content that tells them stuff they didn't know, that helps them do their job better, that helps them make a decision more easily about a solution or a piece of technology that they're going to buy.
I suppose another way that brands are certainly, at least before they've managed to kind of catch people into their funnels, is to look at content they can create that helps drive thought leadership and actually produces something that's perhaps generally useful to the industries and communities that they're hoping to engage with in the first place. So they've just got something kind of out there that might not be salesy at all, but at least helps drive a conversation.
Yeah, so I think content that kind of looks to the future and pulls out trends and where things are going, I think that is definitely useful content that buyers, potential buyers can use. I think when we were talking about doing a podcast about useful content, I was thinking about actually practically useful content, which is what a lot of people in their content marketing programs say they want to produce. And so we as copywriters find ourselves working on a lot of things like workbooks and checklists and ROI calculators and, you know, self-assessment questionnaires and things like that, which are intended to be useful to the audience. But it's just coming to understand, you know, is this actually useful? Is this something that somebody will actually pick up and use and find valuable? And they won't feel that it's been a waste of their time. They'll find they've got some actual value out of it. And that's what I'm thinking of as useful content. So it's practically useful content.
So how do we go about deciding what sort of content would be useful to an intended audience?
Yeah, and I think this is the really difficult thing. I think this is the challenge, because you have to not just imagine yourself in the shoes of the potential buyer, but actually know what kind of information they're looking for on a day-to-day basis, and what information can we as a brand give them that they can't get elsewhere and that will be genuinely useful to them. And that only comes, I think, from really knowing the kind of thought processes that your target audience has, or your target buyer has. And, you know, what do they really need to know? And I think possibly, I mean, as copywriters, we don't have a lot of contact with the end customer. So we need to be guided by the kind of marketing people that we work with as to, you know, what will the potential buyer find useful. But I think that a lot of marketing people don't even have that really kind of detailed view of what the customer is thinking about, what the customer needs. And so it's got to come from experimentation. So, you know, we think they might find a checklist of this sort useful, so let's produce that kind of checklist, but then actually monitor and measure, you know, how is this being used, how many downloads has it had, if it's an online thing, how many people have filled it in, how many people have got to the end, and make some decisions from that as to what the audience has actually found valuable. And then that's the kind of feedback that we very rarely get, you know. So we're constantly asking our clients for, you know, performance of various things that we've created, so that we know the kind of things that the target buyer will find useful. We don't always get that feedback. So I think doing that measurement, getting that feedback and providing that feedback to the writers would be a really good step.
I mean, when I'm trying to think of what's going to go in the blog this month, and I do it a lot because I'm on Twitter so much, so I do a lot of social listening, and I do look around the conversations that are happening in our industry and try to see, well, if there's anything we can add to the conversation rather than regurgitating what's already been said. Because I do notice that a lot of people, yes, they manage that social listening part, but then they don't actually add anything to the conversation that their intended audience will also find useful. So they don't manage to perhaps provide a different spin on some topic that is affecting the industry. And instead, just kind of just paraphrase what's already been said.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There's been this huge rush to create useful content, you know, how-to guides and how-to blog posts and five tips for this and seven tips for that. And it's really difficult to produce that, you know, on a kind of regular basis without sort of coming across as Me Too or saying things that other people have said already. I mean, I don't know how much kind of original knowledge there is out there to sustain everybody doing a weekly blog post with five tips on this. So it is really important to think, you know, let's not just create content for the sake of it. Let's try to find out what people are actually going to find useful. What can't they get elsewhere? Yeah. And create content according to that.
But... And another thing is I look at existing content that we already have. How's it doing? How old is it?
Yeah.
Is it, because I can't really believe there's really any genuine evergreen content out there. So you do kind of need to look back and go, oh, well, we wrote this post ages ago. It's still quite popular, but has something actually changed around the situation that post is kind of talking about? Are there new things? Is there anything we could add?
Yeah.
And then if there is, it's like, well, then we'll produce something around that. And it's kind of using existing audience data, you know, not necessarily social listening, just seeing how people already interacting with existing content to see if there's something different or new that can be done.
Yeah, and I think a really good example, our most popular blog post ever on our blog is one called The 7 Types of B2B Copywriter, Which One Is Right For You? And this has consistently been our most popular blog post for, I don't know, over a year.
Yeah.
And so obviously people find it useful in some way, but I don't know why. And, you know, if you haven't got the kind of means to really understand and track why people find that useful, it's kind of difficult to discern what it is they find useful about it. And I think, you know, something that we've done before as well is a really good technique for getting ideas for creating useful content is listening to all the questions that your customers and potential customers ask. And there's a guy, I think it's Marcus Sheridan, isn't it? The sales lion guy on Twitter. He's the one that, the swimming pool guy. So he basically took every question, and he had a swimming pool firm. He took every question that anybody's ever asked him about swimming pools, and he put that all on his blog. And that was like immensely useful content because he was answering questions that he knew genuine buyers actually had. And so we tried to do that, didn't we? Yeah. We sat in a room and thought, okay, what are the questions that our clients regularly ask us? And we came up with two, didn't we? It was like, how fast can you do it? And can you do it cheaper? So, you know, it's, if you're getting a lot of questions from buyers, and I guess, you know, if you're a salesperson, you're in a really good position to know what questions buyers ask. I am a kind of salesperson for Addicts. You know, I talk to our clients a lot. If they don't ask a lot of questions, then there's not a lot of useful content that you can create.
We could have tried answering those questions, but it would have resulted in a blog post or a fact page that was incredibly snarky and actually kind of against our tone of voice. So, no.
So, yeah, in a way, we kind of have to come up with questions we think people ought to be asking and then answer them and then hope that that's useful.
Obviously, we've sort of been talking generally about content that we think could be useful, but what about the formats? Like, actually taking these ideas and then putting them into something that people can, you know, read or interact with? What works?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, if you haven't got a massive budget, and this is a great format anyway, a genuinely useful how-to blog post is obviously the easiest way into creating useful content. You don't necessarily need any skills, you don't need any special technology, you don't need any design to go with it, so you can do it on a very low budget. It's obviously comes up easy enough in search, so blog posts are an excellent way of creating useful content. Obviously, there's nothing necessarily there to download, so at a certain point you're going to want to create gated content, especially if it's something that's of significant value, or you hope it's going to be of significant value to your prospective buyers, you'll want to use a format where they can register to download something. So the typical formats that we come back to there tend to be workbooks, where you want to kind of take people through a process for doing something, or maybe a shorter checklist for, you know, if you just want to talk about certain things that people need to think through before making a particular decision. A checklist can be good for those. So we've written quite a lot of those. I've never had any feedback on how any of them performed, so I don't know if they work particularly well, whether people actually use them in the way that they're intended to be used.
Well, I mean, what's that great one that Velocity produced years ago, the one for helping you build your content strategy?
Yeah, and I was going to mention that on this because we were going to talk about content that we've personally found useful. So Velocity Partners, a content marketing agency, one of our clients, produced a content marketing workbook, which we have used. So this is takes you through how to put your content marketing strategy and plan together.
We've used it twice in order to refresh our content strategy and have something written down that we can refer to and make sure that we're doing what we want to be doing in order to meet our business goals.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, you know, it's something that they're expert in. They've thought about it very deeply and they've come up with this workbook, which is practical to use. I mean, we've used it twice, as you say, so we've worked through it and it actually works like that. I think a lot of the supposedly useful content that brands create isn't always thought out to that degree of its actual practicality, you know. Okay, is someone actually going to print this out? And, you know, is there enough space for them to write in the answers even, you know, down to that kind of level? So if you want somebody to really use it, you have to really think about what's going to make it easy and practical for them to use it as well.
Mm. What can copywriters do then to make sure that the content they're writing is as useful as possible before it gets anywhere near a designer?
So I think a lot of this is in for copywriters. A lot of it is in the briefing. So we need to know what is it? What actually is it that the potential buyer is going to find useful? And for me, it works a lot better if we're talking to, if we're briefed by a salesperson. Because a salesperson is out there talking to customers. They know the questions that customers are asking. They know the amount of time and headspace the customer's got available for content like this. They know what a piece of content needs to do. So I've found that the pieces of useful content that I've been most confident about that we've written have come from briefings from salespeople when we've got a really good insight into what the customer needs.
I suppose going back to content again that we ourselves have found useful beyond the content strategy workbook, is there anything else that you've interacted with that you've found useful over the years?
Definitely a lot of the stuff produced by Copyblogger. So any copywriter, I think there's a huge amount of really good, really valuable, really authoritative information and how-to stuff on Copyblogger about how to write really good marketing copy. One example that really sticks in my head is, it was quite a while ago, it was probably before you joined Radix, it was when Radix was still quite small, there might have been three or four of us, and I was just really struggling to kind of manage everything in the business, and I was like casting around for help with doing quite a lot of these managerial things that I'd never really done before, and I came across a company based locally actually, called Friday Girl, who are a sort of outsourced admin PA type secretarial company. Basically they'll answer your phones for you and, you know, do your admin for you, so free you up to do your kind of strategic stuff, and they had on their website just a few really nice, really quick downloadable guides to, you know, managing your time, managing your invoices, all the things that you kind of really need when you're starting up a business and you're the business owner and you're trying to do absolutely everything. So this was even before content marketing became a thing, so this is quite a few years ago, and I downloaded those and I thought, well, yeah, this is just really helpful and really nice, and then we did end up using them, so we became a customer as well, so it worked. Well done, Friday Girl, it worked.
I'm just trying to think of stuff that I've found useful. It tends to be just little things that help with just like the odd bits of stuff. Like I think Moz, they've got a SERPs title checker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can check the length of a title. It's a simple landing page in that, but it's like copy your text in. Is it going to show up properly in Google? Oh, that's just little tools like that.
Yeah.
Which are handy, and obviously, you know, it makes you feel good towards them, and I would like to use their tools someday, but, you know, it does make me feel good about what they do.
Yeah, and it all comes out of this is giving away some of your expertise in order to kind of create that rapport with people, and then they will come back to you. Yeah, that's a really good example.
So what tips would we offer to brands or copywriters looking to create useful content?
I would say if you want it to be really useful, don't just guess what people are going to find useful. Use any kind of resources or knowledge or information at your disposal to find out what people actually find to be useful. So that could be social listening to see what people are sharing and commenting on, say, oh no, this was great, I downloaded this and it was really useful. Ideally talking to customers if you can. I mean, copywriters I quite often say this, but we're quite far back in the chain, so we don't often get to talk to our clients and customers unless we're doing case studies. But talk to customers if you can. If not, the next best thing is always to talk to salespeople and really get from the salespeople, what is the customer actually going to find useful? You know, some stuff they're going to just reject as marketing fluff. What do they actually need, you know, to help them do their job better and come to a decision? And it's just getting as close to the horse's mouth as you can. You know, what do people actually find useful?
One final thing, if the thing that you've produced at the end sounds kind of salesy, then it's probably not a piece of useful content.
No, and people see right through that, yeah, as well. You know, they have to feel that, like your Moz example there, they have to feel that, you know, this is there genuinely given to them to help them rather than to try to get them to buy something.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of the Radix Copycat. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for latest copywriting tips and insights.